I really didn't know what to do today. I had so much stuff that Scott's doing right now at the church, particularly in my family also and in my own personal life. But this whole thing, since Pastor Jim passed away, has been a real death to me, to my flesh, because I was content just being a Christian and not having to do anything. I'm sorry.
I don't want you to tip it over.
Anyway.
I want to focus on you.
Yeah, so Jim, when he passed away, we had a... You know, you guys all know the story about he talked to me the night before and all that and told me some things he wanted me to do and all that. And it's still kind of a conundrum to me because out of all the people that he could have said something to, I was probably the least qualified to do anything, really. And
that's why you were
probably. So I got to thinking about that, and I thought, yeah, that's probably pretty wise to do that, because I had to spend a lot of time praying and seeking the Lord on all this stuff. And we still have things we're working out, stuff I hate. I hate dealing with trust and the church building, who owns it, and blah, 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 all that stuff, and all the monies and all that kind of stuff. I hate that stuff. I don't even like talking about it. But, you know, we have to just figure all this stuff out. And it's really complicated. Yeah, but it's pretty complicated. He explained it to us kinda, but then other people. Anyway, it's interesting how Jim left everything, because there's like three trusts, and then the 501c3 thing is still kinda there, but it's not, and it's just wow, it's ridiculous. So we need prayer. And the elders, just to be brutally honest, the elders are doing great, but we still have to be in unity over a lot of things. And it's to be superficially in unity is good, but in actuality, to be in unity is to love one another fervently with a pure heart and all that kind of stuff that we talk about, the gospel and all that. That's a reality that has to happen. And what it's going to take is for each elder individually to be completely and utterly dead to themselves. Because when you're an elder or you're a pastor or you have a capacity to do those things because of God, not because of yourself, you have to give your life to it for the sheep, for the whatever, for the people. And it's kind of like Jim did. You know, there's all kinds of things involved in that. And it's not easy. It's something I didn't really want to do, had no desire to do it. because men, myself, are, and women too, we're all selfish. Can you hear it? What's wrong? I'm not talking loud enough? Or is this thing not? Oh, I'm sorry. It's my own voice. I'm sorry. Oh, that's right. I always forget that. I'm always afraid in Fort Worth I'm speaking too loud and people are like, oh. So what was I saying before I was so rudely interrupted?
Start over.
So our capacity to do things is really not wrapped up in our abilities or our human callings and stuff like that. Really, our capacity to do things is all wrapped up in our identity of who we are in Christ. So that determines everything. If you know who you are, which we're going to talk about today, then God gives you the capacity or the ability to do everything He's called you to do. And it's just a gift. Even Paul said, I preach the gospel, and woe is me if I do not preach the gospel, because God gave him that mandate, even through prophecy. Remember, Ananias came and laid hands on him and said, I'm going to show Paul all the things he must suffer to do what I've called him to do, you know, write the New Testament and all this stuff that he did and preach the gospel to the whole new world, especially to the Gentiles, which, by the way, all of us, I guess, in this room, unless you're, I don't know who's a Jew or not a Jew, but the Gentiles got in, and we got in easy. We got in so, I always thank God for that. I go, God, the Gentiles got in just for nothing. The Jews had to do all the law thing and all the, you know, they had to suffer a lot. And then we got in right there at the end for nothing. Because God knew. He knew that whatever the Jews were supposed to do in the Old Testament, they didn't do it. So Jesus, when Jesus came, he actually started ministering John the Baptist, not so much, but when Jesus started ministry, he actually ministered a lot to Gentiles. If you read the Gospels, the woman with, I think the issue of blood, there's different people that he ministered to, the centurion, and people that, and the guy that carried his cross. He was a convert, but there was a lot of Gentiles that Jesus actually ministered. And then when Jesus, remember the Greeks came to see Jesus? And then it was time. And Jesus even said, the Son of Man must be lifted up. As soon as the Gentiles started seeking the Lord, that's when he died. Because Jesus died for the whole world, not just for the Jews, not just for his people. He died for the whole world. He bore sins of the whole world. So actually, the world doesn't know this, those that are not believers, but Jesus already paid all the price. And they're still trying to be moral and good and whatever the morality is. It's not good to us, but it's not going to work. So everything man does always degenerates to just total chaos and confusion. I mean, look at our country right now. We just have degenerated down to just total confusion. And the church is totally confused. I was at a party last night. Leah's sister and had a get together with all these old people we've known for 30, 40 years from when we first got saved. Back, we went to a church called, I don't know if you guys are familiar, in Fort Worth, there's a church called Calvary Cathedral, and that's where we went to church. But they were all there, and everybody now goes to a different church. Some go to Gateway, some go to various other churches, mostly big churches. And just to hear everybody speak, and it's really neat how these people, I don't know about their churches, but individually how they made it through the years, because they really loved the Lord. And they had a testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their life, even unto death. And that's how you overcome. And there's no other way. The last part is the hardest. And that's what I was going to share today about Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. Because that's really your whole life. Those three chapters in the Bible are actually your whole life. Because your life is all wrapped up in Jesus. If you know who you are, you're identified, you're an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He considers you that. And those songs we sang, by the way, were awesome. Because Jesus, because of what he did, he died, but then he rose again. Now death no more has dominion over him, and death no more has dominion over you. So even if you died, even if we all got COVID and died, which that's not going to happen, but we would live because we have life. We have life, not in ourselves, but we have life in him. And so we have this origin. We were born from above. Origin always determines destiny. So our origin now is not from your mother's womb. That's natural. You were naturally born, but now you're born from above. That's your life. You're no longer flesh. You are spiritual now. Even though we don't know that sometimes. That's why Luther said we have to preach the gospel excessively because our flesh will not allow us to grasp it or to have faith in it. Or even because it will not submit to God, it's not even able to do so. And I don't know why. I ask God this sometimes. He saved us, filled us with the Holy Spirit, and then he just left us to to live this crappy life. I call it a crappy life. Because I don't know why he did that. I like that song we sang. I can't remember the words, but it said, she said, when she was singing, it said, I cannot give an answer. We always want answers to everything because we don't trust God. So we want to understand things. I want to understand my life. I want to understand what is faith. The Bible has a little definition of it in Hebrews chapter 11. But really, what is faith? I don't know. You know, there's a little thing with the guy in the wheelbarrow and all these little tricks people have to say what faith is, but we don't even understand it. You have very little understanding of who God is, all of us. But we don't have to. That's the neat thing about God. Christianity, the reason why I became a Christian, I think, I got to thinking about this the other day, because it fit me so well. You know, I grew up Catholic. But Christianity fit me so well because I could do nothing. And Jesus did everything. Wow, that suits me perfect. And I know it does all you guys too. It suits you because you cannot do anything without Him. So in Him we can do all things. So Romans chapter 6 starts out. I think I just devoured Romans chapter 6. I love that chapter because it kind of says it the way it is. But in verse 14 it says, likewise, reckon also yourselves, or consider, this is something you meditate on, yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So in death, which you guys all have to come to grips with, not physical death, I'm not talking about physical death. This is a death, and I think the Dallas Church probably would understand this more. Death, Jesus' death is your death. He died for you, but you also died. Amen. And when you, every day you have to carry your own cross for the rest of your life, every day of your life. And people hate that because Jesus died, now you have to die. And our death, we can't even do it, only God can do this, but all you have to do is agree with it. Or assent to it, or yield to it, the Bible says. So, if you yield yourselves, your members, your flesh, your life, to God, to let the cross do its deadly work, it's deadly. It'll kill you. Your self-life is the life that you need to die to, particularly your good life, the good life, the American dream, self-sufficiency, self-gratification, self-esteem, self, whatever you can put self in, self-abasement, self-will religion, your self-life, selfishness, self-love, self. When Eve was tempted by the devils, that's how she was tempted. You can be just like God, knowing good and evil. You can be somebody. You can be all you can be. Is that the Marines? I think that's the Marines. Might be the, what, yeah. So those things, that's a death to us. And it's hard because we want to be all those things. And plus the world gives that all to you. You know, every product, when they advertise, everything caters to your flesh, to your self-life. But that self-life, you cannot die to it. And that's the hard thing about life. Even though we're born from above, we are all born from above, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are, and we get all the inheritance. But Jesus just left this here. He didn't even remove everything. When I got saved, a lot of things left instantly. Like I didn't drink anymore, or party, or you know, I had a really bad cussing. I cussed like crazy. And I didn't cuss anymore and all that. But some things I didn't, you know, it wasn't like instant. There's things that God worked on me day after day after day, year after year, slowly but surely. you know, because God's patient with us. And you just have to trust him every day. Every day you have to trust that, man, God, I don't think you know what you're doing. This is what I've been struggling with, actually, with the church itself. It's, God, you don't know what you're doing. Why do I have to do this? I have no capacity to do it or anything. I don't even want to do it. And God puts you in a situation that kills your flesh, because now I have no life. Whatever little life I had left, you know, I'm 64. I'll be 64 next month. But little life I have left, you know, I wanted to do some things, you know, go to, you know, maybe go on a trip, or, you know, spend some more time with my wife or something like that. And my wife's going through the same thing, Leah, because she's, you know, Leah doesn't, she never has liked our church. She does. She loves the people. She loves the people. She really does. But we've always, so it's been a death for her for a long time. And now it's, even though I've died over the years, that death is still working in me. Why? Because God wants you to have a resurrected life. A crucified life, so that you might live. Jesus died the Bible says, and you have to suffer to be glorified. Because God wants you to be glorified. Jesus is your brother. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your King. He's your all in all. He's everything. And he identifies totally with us. He can have compassion on us because he had like infirmities, because he, I don't know if Jesus ever got COVID or something, but when he was human, he was human. He was a person. He was all God, but he was all man too. So I'm sure when he was a carpenter, I'm sure he hit his thumb and cut himself and all that kind of stuff. I don't know that. I just can imagine, because he was a carpenter and he's probably kind of a strong guy, and he was human and he was weak. He had to rest. I just read this morning he had to go up in the mountain and pray by himself. He had to get away from the crowd. I'm sure they were driving him crazy. Heal me, heal me. But he was human. So he had to go to the Father. He's going, man, God, these people are crazy. So he had to go off and be by himself to pray. And then, of course, all the crowds followed him, and, you know, because people wanted to see a sign and a wonder. They wanted something from Jesus, but they didn't want the real stuff. And that's how it is today. People want gifts, callings, all, and I want those things too. But those things are all gifts. They're gifts, and they're things that encourage and exhort one another. That's why the Bible says desire the better gifts, like prophecy and things like that. Because that's an exhortation. That exhorts people. It encourages them. It helps them. And those are the kind of gifts that Paul said to pray for. That's for the body. And that's something we're all dying to, especially the elders. We're dying to the fact that everything we do is not for us anymore. It's for the people. That's funny, but it is funny. Because you have to die your whole life. You have no life anymore. Particularly your religion. You have to die to all will religion, all your capacity to do something, all your ability to do something, and then you're dead. And now you can live. It's all, the Bible's always like that. It's always opposite. And I don't even understand it all. I don't think anybody does. I've read books. You don't know how many books and sermons I've heard about faith. I can't even count them, so many. And I never even understood it. And I don't even think they did either. They were teaching it. They're teaching the results of faith, or the thing faith does, or it results in. But faith is actually from the Lord. It's a gift. It comes by hearing something, and you don't even know why you believe and another person doesn't. I mean, how do you figure that out? They heard the same message. They heard the same gospel. one person believes and another person next to him doesn't. I mean, who knows? I don't understand everything, and neither do you. No one understands. Once saved, always saved. Whatever people's, all these doctrines that people have, you don't understand all that, and you never will until Jesus comes back. Some things you will, because God will give you an understanding, but you just have to walk in the truth, and the truth is a person. The truth is Jesus Christ. Even Peter said about Paul in his epistle, he said, he was talking about Paul, and he said something, those things are hard to understand. And some of them, and a lot of them, those things have been perverted. Could we be deceived? Yes. Could the gospel be perverted in this church? Yes, it could, easily. If somebody wanted to promote themselves, and it's so subtle, you can't hardly even see it. God was showing me this, and I was like, golly, God, how are we going to make it? I don't know how we're going to make it. But it's so subtle. You can't even see it, hardly. Because a lot of pastors, they promote themselves under the guise of promoting Christ, but because they're preaching the gospel, which is good. That's good. But still, you have to be very careful about that stuff, especially when you're put in a position like I was, or like we are, almost against our will. But it was, you have to be really careful every day to make sure that you're nothing. If a man thinks he is something, he deceives himself, being nothing. You have to be very careful as a leader, or if you, any capacity, a wife, a husband, you have to be very careful. And I take everything very seriously, soberly, although I have a sense of humor and all that stuff. But you have to take things pretty serious. If your children, like for instance, Titus got in trouble at school, and, you know, but I'm not worried about that. I don't even care about if my kids get in trouble or don't get in trouble. I want them to know Jesus. I don't care about their behavior. I know it sounds bad. I do care about it. I don't want them to die or anything, but I'm not so concerned about their behavior as I am. Do you know Jesus? Do you know you're forgiven? Do you understand mercy? Do you understand the gospel? You know, I want them to know that because I want them to be godly. Godliness is profitable for all things. All things. If you're a godly person, it profits everything. You can have $1 billion in the bank and be super awesome and everything, and if you're not godly, it's worthless. It actually means nothing. It's all vain. It's all empty. It's all nothing. That's something that God's been showing me, is that how vain and how empty this world is. And really the only thing you got, like we just sang about, is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is your life. You have no other life. That means you have to give up everything. Your family, not literally leave them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you have to seek first the kingdom of God. You have to give your life wholly over to Jesus Christ. That's your death. Then you have no more life. I'm talking about the elders a little bit now. I know people have to do this too. But if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you have to continue in His Word, take up your cross daily and follow Him, and you have to lose your life. I know it's a hard message, but it's not you doing it even. That's the good news. I could never do that until just this last 6 months or whatever it's been. How long has it been since Jim passed away? Whatever. But then it was always a theory to me, or a theology or some kind of interesting thing that we could teach and stuff. But to actually live it, to live the gospel, is way different than just teaching it or having a theory about it or having, so you have to actually live it. So everything God does imputed to your life, like I'm going to read here in a minute, everything God has done in heaven before the foundations of the world, all your works were already done, blah, blah, blah. You guys know all the scripture. You can do all things through Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Those things are interesting, and they're true. But then daily, in a daily walk with the Lord, He works that out in your life, and it's not fun. But it is fun, because you're dying to this. You're seeing that heaven is everything. Your inheritance that you can read about this in Ephesians. Your inheritance, what you're going to adopt. You've been adopted into the beloved. You've been adopted. You've been brought in for nothing. You didn't even do anything. You just got in. That's what was neat about being out. Because I grew up Catholic, like I said. And just to get in for not even going to, you know, confirmation, or I didn't do communion, I didn't confess my sins to the priest, I didn't do a good work. I just said this stupid little prayer. That's what I thought. And then I got in. I was like, wow, this is too good. This is like, you know, I just can't believe it. I couldn't even explain it to my parents, hardly. They thought I was in a cult, but I couldn't even explain it to people. I didn't even get it myself for a while. I was like, wow, this is too cheap, I don't know. It's just like I wasn't even that sincere about it, really. And then it totally changed my life. I just couldn't get it for a long time. But that's how God has to do it, because you'll never get it. You'll never get it. Even Jim didn't understand everything. You just can't get it with your head. It has to be a heart thing. It has to be something that God, by the Holy Ghost, speaks to you and teaches you. Anointing, it's called an anointing in 1 John. The anointing teaches you all things. So you don't even need somebody to teach you. As a matter of fact, when somebody teaches, you already know what they're going to say, because you have an anointing. You've already spent time with the Lord. You've already been worshiping, loving Him, reading the Word, spending time with Him, dying. And then when the preacher gets up, or somebody exhorts you, or there's a prophecy or something like that, then you've already, that's exactly what I heard. That happens all the time. I'm sure it happens to you guys too, but it happens all the time. You hear somebody teach you, oh yeah, that God showed me that this week, or, you know, I've already done all that, or whatever. But, so it's interesting how the Holy Spirit works, because everybody, including elders, including everybody, apostles, prophets, everybody's on the same exact level. If you could get this, it would change your life. Then you would think totally different about church and stuff, because people are all the same. Pastor Jim was exactly like us. He had sin in his life. He had problems. He had blah, blah, blah. I do. Everybody does. Melissa and Tom do. Lynn does. Everybody's working this thing out with fear and trembling, because He's in you to will and to do. But that's the hard part. The hard part is not doing it. The hard part is letting Jesus do it. That's the hardest part. You don't think it is, but it is. The hardest part about being a Christian is letting God do everything and you doing nothing. It kills you, because you're awesome. You're great. At least I'm pretty. At least I'm handsome. At least I have a talent. I never had those things, so I don't know what that's like. But we always have something. I might be bad, but man, look at this poor slob over here. I'm better than he is. At least I'm not an alcoholic. At least I'm not blah, blah, blah. You know, we can go on forever and ever. That's just selfish. That's just wicked. If you could see it, and I have, you can see that you are exactly like everybody else. A sinner, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, adopted in a saint. Well, that kills you, because you're a saint. When I was a Catholic, saints were rare. It was like, I think, what's her name? What's the nun lady? What was her name? Sister, yeah, she barely got in. I think she got voted in finally. And by the way, how does a church decide who's a saint and who's not a saint? But anyway, but we're all saints. We're all saints. All of us sitting in this room right now are saints. We are children of the Most High God, sons of God. Wow, that's amazing. And God treats you as a son. That's why He leaves us the way we are, because He wants you to grow up. He wants all of us to grow up and be, you know, be a. But growing up is different than natural growing up. Growing up as a Christian is complete and utter death to your life, because your flesh, for some reason, God did this. He saved us, gave us a new heart, which is Jesus Christ in us, by the way. The hope, a new creation in Christ Jesus. But then he left us. He didn't leave us. You know what I mean. He left us the way we were. He didn't change us. Some things he did, some things he didn't. I was still selfish. After I got saved, I was still wicked. I still had problems. Nothing really changed that much, except I was happy. I mean, I was full of joy and peace, and I was ecstatic. I was beside myself. That it was so easy. My thing was, it was so easy. Because I like that. I like things to be easy. So I thought, man, this is great. And that's the only way you can get in, by the way. You can't get in by being sincere, you know, closing your eyes. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. You just get in surely by God's grace and mercy, surely by just Jesus Christ doing it. And then your life starts. Even though you have eternal life, everything's already done. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. But you still have to work this life out. And that's the thing where all Christians mess up. It's the working out your salvation. Some people work it out by being a good person, by doing religious activities, blah, blah, blah. Some people work it out, don't even work it out at all. Jesus said it's finished, blah, 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 which is true. So they just go ahead and sin all they want and live a debauched life. And both are wrong. So, and it's hard to find that place in Jesus where he does everything. But it's a place, and I'm telling you, it's a place that you get where your life is over. And even though the Bible says, like the scripture that I just read, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. This is in Romans chapter 6. So it's not the law, it's not behavior, it's actually grace that gives you mercy and forgives all your sin and empowers you to overcome sin. Wow, that's a miracle. When that happens, it's a miracle. And it's happened in all your lives, and it's happened in my life. Where you, and when you pray, you're like, God, this is my sin. The Holy Spirit showed it to me. I'm not feeling guilty about it. I'm not worried about it. Thank you for showing it to me. Thank you for forgiving me. And now I know what you're working on. Go for it. I'm not going to help you out. I don't even know if I even, I have no desire to get rid of that sin or whatever. Then God will do it. Because he knows you're not going to do it, then he'll do it. Unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain that build it. Don't build your house. This is a house. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't tinker with your soul. People do it all the time. It's evil. It's witchcraft. You cannot save yourself. You cannot even save your own soul. Only that's a work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of Jesus. He's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. All you have to do is learn who you are. I'm a child of the living God. I am been bought with a price. I am not my own. Man, I am a God's favorite. That's what it means when you're elect. You've been elected. That's election. That's all it means. It just means you're God's favorite. So Melissa is God's favorite. Tom is God's favorite. My wife is his favorite. God has his favorites, which is pretty much all believers. And he does. And he loves his church. Oh my gosh. So we're all accepted. So if you knew that, then you could go through anything. Because this life is so short. You know, last week I was in college and young and thought I was awesome. Now I'm 63 and I'm old and I'm nothing, which is great. Because you have no capacity to save yourself, to help yourself, to even be happy, to be at peace, to be joyful. That's all a gift from God. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other, for instance, says in Psalm 685. Righteousness always, always, if you read it, you can read this in the Bible, always produces peace. Always. So if you're not peaceful, you probably forgot who you were. Or you forgot that you were forgiven. It even says this in the Bible. You forgot that you were delivered from all your sins, that Jesus paid for all your sins. So your sins are completely and utterly forgiven, gone. But in your soul, God's still working that out. It's so interesting or weird, whatever you want to say, how God does that. And then he works it out in your life. And that's your death. When God begins to get rid of your flesh, your sin life, that's your death. That's your cross you carried every day. And he does it. But mostly it's good stuff. Oh, I like Tom because he's a nice guy, or because he does this and he does that. Oh, that's all just flesh. The Bible says, know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you learn to love everybody fervently with a pure heart, because everybody is messed up. We all are. That's why we have to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. Well, that's a real verse. That's a real thing. Don't build your own house. I'm in you to will and to do of my good pleasure. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened down and stressed and all that, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. Nobody wants to take Jesus' yoke. Nobody. It's very rare that somebody does, takes Jesus' yoke. It's easy. His burden is light. Because that's all you can handle. All you can handle is light. Nothing. So you can't handle any, the slightest little crisis that comes in your life, people fall apart, right? I see it all the time. People have a little slight problem and it totally crushes them for that whole day. I've even heard Christians say this all the time. Man, my day started out good and then this happened and then they're totally crushed and their day is all ruined. But every day is the best day of your life. Did you know that? Today, I say that every morning when I pray, but God, today is the best day of my life. There's no day better than today. Wow. I just won the lottery. Whatever. This is a great day. And this is a day the Lord has made. The best day of Jesus' life was the day he died. For the joy set before him, because he was thinking, like the song just said, he was thinking of us. And we don't even understand that. How do you understand that concept that God of the universe, Jesus always was and always will be. Everything was created through Christ Jesus. That guy died for us. He even humbles himself to look at the earth. God has to humble himself to look at us. Look at the whole earth. It's funny. So he humbles himself, but he loves us. I just can't comprehend that kind of love. To give yourself, giving your life for somebody, say, at the spur of the moment, you jump in front of a car and say, push somebody out of the way and you get killed, whatever. But that's nothing if you don't have love. The Bible says that, by the way. So love is way different than we think. God is love. But God's been showing me how to love fervently with a pure heart that I can't do it. I can't even love my wife as Christ loved the church. I can't even love myself. I can do nothing. But God, now God, but all you have to do is ask him. These are the things that Christians don't pray. I'm telling you what Christians don't pray for. They pray for money. They pray for healing. They pray for health. They pray for other people to be healed, to have money, to get saved. But we never pray these prayers. Oh God, whatever it takes, I want to carry my cross every day and follow you. However you do that, I want you to do that. And I'm not going to help you out, by the way. I don't even know what you're talking about. Who prays like that? I do every day. I know other people do too. But you have to ask God to do that. Otherwise, because you, as you know, as your faith is, so be it. If you have faith in that, that God will do it, then He will do it. Because that's your prayer. That's actually the desire of your heart. But you thought the desire of your heart was to get that job you wanted, to get that spouse you wanted, to get that healing you wanted, to get all that stuff. But nobody wants to really know God because He's scary. I love that song about the blood. Because nobody wants to enter into the Holy of Holies. They want to stay in the outer court. Almost all Christians are on the outer court. They've been saved. They've been baptized in water. But they never entered into God's presence. Because there's two types of presence of God. There's His eternal presence, which is with us all the time. God's everywhere, right? He's everywhere. So there's no point where you're at that God's not. He's there. He's everywhere. His presence is everywhere. You can see it. It's not like in His creation. I mean, it is, but it's not like a tree. A tree is not God. Doesn't have the essence of God or anything. It's just something He created. We're like that way too, our flesh. Those things will not make it. They're not eternal. When Jesus comes back, the earth will melt with fervent heat. Everything you can see will just burn, melt away, and it'll be gone. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. Because it's not eternal. And God is eternal. God's eternal. He always was and always will be. And so Jesus, I forgot the point I was making.
We're talking about two presences.
Oh, yeah. And His other presence is when, like, we're worshiping, like this morning, His manifest presence. But that's what you should see. You should have that every day in your personal life. That's what changes you. As you behold Him, you're changed. When His presence comes, that's where your change comes place. Change does not come by changing. Change does not come by, I'm going to get rid of that sin. I'm going to will it. Or I'm going to be happy no matter what, or blah, blah, blah. I'm going to drink beer until I'm happy, or whatever people do to do all their stuff. No, this is a presence of God that you're beholding. You are changed from glory to glory to glory. Justification, sanctification, glorification. You are changed into that. But when you're in God's presence, there's two things that happens. You can read this in Isaiah. I think it might be in Jeremiah. I can't remember. But anyway, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Then He was undone. So it undoes you. Well, you are undone. Then you see everything the way it is. And that's what's kind of happening to me right now in my walk, is that I'm seeing that I'm undone, and I live amongst people that are all undone too. But they're not really undone, and I'm not really undone yet, because I'm still glorying in my flesh. I'm still, you know, doing all that. But once you're undone, then you're forgiven, then you're sent, then you have power. Like if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the gifts, it says, you Gentiles, you guys in Corinthians, you guys are ignorant. I'm going to show you how this thing works. And then he talked about idolatry and Jesus being Lord before we even start talking about the gifts. But that's in the gift thing. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant of God's gifts. Then he explains idolatry, and then first two verses of that chapter talks about idolatry and Jesus is Lord. You can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. What that means is Jesus can be, if you want Him to, be Lord of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. But you don't want Him to be Lord over your mind, will, and emotions, because you want to be Lord over your mind, will, and emotions. So there's going to be a battle. Somebody's going to die there. It's to the death. Either Jesus is going to win, the Holy Ghost, or you're going to win. And God will allow you to win if you want to. He will not force you to make Jesus Lord. He will not force you to do good or evil. He will allow you. You have to assent to it. But God will give you, the Holy Spirit will show you that. And you'll say, yeah, I want that. For the joy, because you'll see the joy set before you, you can endure the cross, your cross, not Jesus' cross, your cross. And then you'll be changed. And that's how it all works. But you just pray it and say it. God always answers that prayer, always. Every time I pray that, God answers it always. I never had not had that prayer answered. Now, other things like healing, you know, I prayed for people to get healed and they didn't and all that kind of, I'm sure you guys have some of the same experiences, but that prayer is always answered. And you know what he does? He does abundantly above all you can ask or think. Always. What? Exceedingly, yeah. And he gives you everything freely. He freely gives you all things. But the problem is you have to get Jesus. Not just born again, not just Savior, but Lord. That Lord part is a little more difficult for us than the Savior part. Savior part, for me, was like falling off a log. You know, I just tripped and fell and I got saved. But Lord, that's different. That's working out your salvation with fear and trembling, for he's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's a little different. That's where you take up your cross. But all you got to do is look at the joy set before you, what it does, the result of it, the capacity that God gives you to do everything, all the gifts, because now you won't own it. If you were truly got rid of all your idols, God did that. You can ask God, God, I don't want any more idols, especially the high places. Israel never got rid of the high places. They just couldn't do it. They got rid of a lot of idols, which was good. God blessed them for that. But they never quite got rid of everything. They always kept a little thing. So God could never fully bless them like he wanted to. You know, sometimes they recovered a little bit. If you read the story, it's so depressing, kind of. Even in the book of Acts, you know, there would be something going on, then Ananias and Sapphira would happen, or they'd be persecuted or something like that. So we never quite got the thing, our relationship with Jesus Christ right. But we will, and we can, and we are. Because these are the times where God's going to do a work, and it'll be amazing. We'll all be, it says we won't even be able, we'll be amazed when we see it. We'll just go, wow, I can't even believe this has happened. We almost won't even believe our own eyes, the things that God's going to do. But I'm telling you what it takes to get there. It's going to be a sovereign work of God, but it's going to be that. Because everything that God does actually happens in real life. It's not just a theory. It's not just a theology. It's not just a doctrine. It's actually something God does in your life. Really does in your life. Where it's actual righteousness. Where it's actually you did die and you rose again to a new life. Death always produces, with God, death always produces resurrected life. The crucified life is actually a good life because then you resurrect right away. Doesn't take years or months. It's just like right away. It's that day. That day you die. That day you rise from the dead. That day you walk in victory every day. But that takes time and, you know, people are busy doing stuff. So that happens every day so that you're happy all the time. All the time. Right, Andrew? All the time. That means you're never not happy. Even when things don't go right. Even when the car breaks down, the kids get in trouble, and all these things happen, which has all happened this week. But those things, I don't even care about them. Who cares? That's just life stuff. You just take care of it and move on with your life. No use getting upset about it or worrying about it. The Bible says don't worry. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. You know, in the Bible it says God knows your thoughts. In the Hebrew, it actually means anxious thoughts. God knows all your anxious thoughts, everything you're anxious about. And he'll take care of it. He knows everything. I'm anxious about my health. I'm anxious about the church. I'm anxious about money. I'm anxious about our country. I'm anxious about this. I'm anxious. God knows all those thoughts. So you have to cast all those cares on the Lord. As soon as it comes up, you pray. That's what I do. I don't care what I'm doing. Even if I'm worshiping God, if I have a thought, an anxious thought, I pray and give it to God right away. He doesn't want you to have an anxious thought for a second, because his burden is easy. And once you pray about it, it's over. Then don't worry about it. Like, I remember when the COVID thing started, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what do I do? You want me to do anything? I don't care if I do or not. Whatever you want me to do. He goes, this is how I imagine God talks to me. Nah, don't worry about it. That's exactly what he said. He goes, he didn't say it that way. He said, he gave me a scripture. I didn't even know where it was at. I had to look it up, but it was word for word. It said, the righteous are as bold as a lion, and the wicked flee when no one pursues. And for some reason I knew, don't even give it a second thought. Don't even worry about it. So I never did. Since then, I've never, wore a mask or got vaccinated or anything. I don't care. God said, don't worry about it, so I'm not going to worry about it. So that's how God does things. You just pray and he tells you. God actually speaks to you because you're his sheep. You're his child. He speaks to you, and God always speaks. He's always speaking. He's always speaking. That's where faith comes from. I don't know how it works. I'm not even going to explain it. No one does. I've never heard a good explanation of it. But when you hear something from the Lord, for some reason you believe it, and it's done. Like my grandson, Brendan, he was born extremely premature. Like, he was supposed to be born in December. He was born in August. So he was very tiny, and they didn't think he was going to live and all that stuff. And I asked the Lord, because I'm not even going to worry about that. I'm not going to worry about it. I said, God, I'm not going to worry about it. You said not to worry. You don't be anxious for anything. So I go, what's the deal? He goes, he will thrive. That's the word he told me. He goes, he will thrive. It's okay. And I never prayed for him, really. Every day I just thank him. God, thank you that Brendan's thriving. That's all I did for months. And now he's, a normal baby and doing perfect. Cost $1.5 million to save that baby. That was a lot of money. But God took care of it. I mean, they don't know anything, but God took care of it. So all you need is a word from God. That's all you need. Once you hear God, it's over. Whatever the thing is, it's over. It doesn't matter if it looks like it's over. When God told me that about Brendan, it wasn't over. I mean, there was still, how women text, and I guess men do too, but they're all talking, taking pictures and talking. Oh, he's so tiny, but they're all concerned. But I was never concerned, not one day, that he would die or something would happen bad. I knew he was going to thrive. So I didn't care about the reports. Oh, his heart's not going high enough, or whatever the thing was, the symptoms. Because they're just symptoms. The truth is, you have to get to the truth. You have to be honest. True, he was born premature and he was, struggling. That's the truth. That was the reality, the honesty of it. But the truth is, he was going to thrive. Because God told me. So once you get a word from God, it's over. Then you don't have to worry about it. If you were sick and God said he was going to heal you, if you heard it, with the hearing of the ear or the seeing with the eyes, then it's done. And you don't have to worry about it. That's basically how I always get healed. I don't ever go to a doctor. I haven't been to a doctor, except for when I got bit by the snake, the copperhead, but I've never really been to a doctor. I don't have a family doctor. Maybe Julia might be my family doctor. I don't know. But anyway, because if I ever get sick, which I rarely ever do, but I was sick a couple years ago. I had something happened. I don't know if I had a hernia or I pulled a muscle or something happened in my abdomen where I couldn't even lay down. I had to sleep in a chair for 6 months. And it was so painful I could hardly bear it. But God said he was going to heal me, so I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. Your wife, she gets all, you ought to go to the doctor. You probably have a hernia or whatever. I said, nah, don't worry about it. God told me I was going to take care of it. So 6 months later, I was working, and I never did stop working. It actually felt better when I was working. So I'd be hanging the blind or something. I was hanging the blind, and I reached down to pick something up, and something popped inside of my stomach, and I never had the pain again. So I don't know. And God did the same thing to my back. I hurt my back one time really bad. I couldn't even bend over or do anything. And I remember it was when we lived on the north side of Fort Worth, and we had some kind of ministry there. But anyway, I was picking up a bag of cat food because we had lots of kids, and you know, kids like pets. So I was picking up a bag of cat food, and my back popped, and then I never had the pain again. So it's kind of weird what God does. But what I'm saying is that's however your faith is. But I'm just saying, if you get a word from the Lord, then it's over. If you read the Old Testament, like when Hezekiah, the king wrote him, one of the heathen kings, I can't remember his name, wrote him a letter, said, don't think that your God is going to save you. All the other gods of all the nations, I've already conquered them. Their gods didn't help them a lick. Your God is no good. He's not going to help you. That's basically what he said. So Hezekiah is kind of like, wow. So Isaiah got in there and he prophesied. He said, no, this is the way it really is. This is what it looks like. Who cares? This is what God says. And everything happened exactly the way God said. Because Isaiah, and then those guys, Isaiah, Ezekiel, once you heard the prophecy, once they heard the word of God, it was over. It was going to happen exactly the way God says. So even in the book of Revelations, if you read anything in the Bible, it's going to happen exactly the way God says. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the truth. But that's just a dead letter if you just read it like that. But if it's real to you, God spoke it to you in reality into your soul, then it's real. And that's how I want God to talk to me. I don't want to just read the Bible like a dead letter, although I do read it constantly all the time. But I know that God, but I want God to speak to me personally, not just hear a message or whatever. I want God to speak to me personally, a word. Like when Jim first gave me all this stuff to do, I was praying about it, and God said, don't escape. Because I had a plan, man. I was gonna get out of here and live my life. It was gonna be awesome. But then God said, don't escape. I was like, what? I knew what he meant. So I was like, God, this is gonna kill me. So I wanted to escape. But what he was saying was, don't escape the cross. Don't escape what I'm doing in your life. It'll be good. So I just trusted him and said, okay, I won't escape. But I told him, I said, I'm going to try to wiggle out of this the best way I know how. So you got to, and you know I will. God, you know I'm going to. I mean, we had this really long, I went up to church. I was there for probably 5-6 hours, and I was mad. And I was talking to God, and I was mad. It went by like a second. I couldn't believe I was there. I got there at 10 in the morning, and I was left at 3. It was like a couple of seconds. It felt like, it didn't feel like any time at all. But anyway, man, I was livid. I was mad. I was probably cussed a little bit, maybe. I'm not going to tell you if I did or didn't. But I was mad. And then God, then at the end of the whole thing, he didn't even give me a scripture or anything. He just said, don't escape. But it totally did everything. I was totally happy, peaceful. I heard from God. I don't even care what he said, but I heard from God. If you hear from God, then it's over. That's all you got to do. But you have to pray like that. You can't pray religious prayers. You can't say, God, Heavenly Father, Omnipotent One, you know, and all that. You can't pray like that. But I'm just saying, you have to get down to where it's real in your life. Because it's going to affect your whole life. It's going to affect my wife's life. Wow, that's hard to say. It's going to affect the church. It's going to affect a lot of people's lives. So you have to hear God accurately. You can't just blow it off like it's nothing. It's something. Even though this church is small and it seems insignificant to the world and to even, maybe even to other churches, it's not. If there's two or three people gathered, that's enough. That's important to God. That might be even more important than the mega churches or whatever. That's important to God. You can't just blow this off like it's nothing. It is something. And it's precious to God. People are precious to God. He loves people. And so we have to, too. And that's hard because people are crazy. They do crazy things. But anyway, I guess I'm telling you this because I want you to just hear from, you got to hear God's voice. My sheep hear my voice. Yeah. Doctrine, theology, and all that is good, but it's not good enough. Because you have to hear the gospel over and over until you're sick of it. Like for instance, I'm almost done. I read the book of Galatians literally every day. Because God told me to do that. I read other things too, but I make sure I read the book of Galatians every day. Because that was one of the first books that Paul wrote. And everything's in there. The whole gospel, everything's in there. Just like Romans. Romans chapter 6, 7, 8, 5, probably 5, 4 even. 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Those are huge. If you understand those, you understand the whole Bible. The whole Bible. And you keep reading, you can even understand the whole Jewish thing. It's all right there in the book of Romans. So if you read Galatians and Romans, you pretty much know the truth. And then everything else that you read in the Bible, now I understand Abraham. Now I understand Samson. Now I understand Moses, the law. You understand everything. So when you read it, you go, yeah, Israel's in trouble, you know, when you start reading. So, and then, in Romans chapter 6 is more like, imputation. You are dead. Verse 7 says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more have dominion over him, just like you. Death has no more dominion over you because you're alive. As a matter of fact, some of you will never die even physically because Jesus will come back and you'll be caught together with him in the air. So, that's a promise. That's awesome. That'll be great. But if we die, we die. If we don't, we don't. That's great. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself. So, verse 10, for he died in sin once. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. There's no other sacrifice. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. But in that he liveth unto God. So we're dead. Now we live unto God. Likewise, you, Jack and Lynn, and all you guys, Tom, Melissa, Joe, Andrew, Alex, all of us, Chad, reckon yourselves to be dead. Consider it already done, indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Because why? You're free from sin. You're already free. And then Romans chapter 7 explains it all about the flesh. He says, it's no longer sin. It's no longer I that do it, sin, as a Christian, but sin that dwelleth in me. Where does sin dwell? In your flesh. It doesn't dwell in your new creation. Jesus can't sin. Christ in you does not sin. It's impossible. Jesus cannot sin. God cannot sin or be tempted by sin. He can't tempt you. You're only sin when you're drawn away by your own lust. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin has conceived, it brings forth death. It's just your own flesh. So that's the thing that dies daily. That's the thing you crucify daily. That's the thing that you take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. So your flesh is crucified. Not the Christ in you. Christ in you cannot be crucified, cannot kill God. You cannot, God cannot sin or be tempted by sin or anything. So that's what Paul's saying in Romans chapter 7. He says, you were married to the law, but now you're dead. So you're free from the law to serve God. You can't serve God under the law by doing a good work, by being a good person, by being nice, by doing anything. You serve God by your spirit. Romans chapter 8. Now we get to Romans chapter 8. That's how you serve God. You're not in the flesh, but in spirit. If the spirit of Christ dwells in you, that's the guy you trust. That's the guy you believe that God did. That's your faith. I no longer walk in the flesh, but I walk in the spirit because I'm dead to sin through Jesus Christ. Not just imputed, but actually. God, I want you to do that in my life. Actually. Not just imputed or by faith, whatever. I mean, it is by faith. So I want that faith to be active in love in my life so I can give it to others. So I want that sin, whatever that sin is, lust, greed, pride, whatever it is, that you showed me, God. You showed me. You got to, now you're going to do that. To where I'm actually mortified that, the Bible says, which means you killed it, or God killed it. It was crucified, literally, not just figuratively or imputed. It was actually done. That is true. But to actually do it is something that God does. But that's His work too. You don't even have to worry about this. All you do is ask Him. I lusted, God, forgive me. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to do anything about it. You showed it to me, so I know you're going to take care of it. And I want you to. I want to crucify that. I don't want it to live in my life. I want to mortify that. But you can do it, and I thank you for doing it. And that's it. Then you don't have to do anything. You can't, well, I'll never look at another bulletin board. Or, you know, I mean, you can't do that. I know some Baptist friends of mine that do that. This guy had a lust problem, I guess. So he would avoid stuff. But you can't do that all your life. Because sometimes you'll see something, it's normal. I mean, you go drive, you see a billboard with a naked lady on it or something. You can't avoid everything. You can't just... So you have to crucify it. It has to actually be dead. So you have to ask God to do that. Even if you don't want Him to, because you like that sin, whatever sin you like. You just ask Him. And God will do it. So read Romans 6, 7, and 8. And it'll explain everything better than I just did, obviously. But you'll see it. You'll go, wow. And God will speak to you all the time. That's all God wants. He wants His children to hear His voice, just like Jesus did. Jesus only did what the Father said. He only did what the Father saw. But He saw the Father do. And that's our life. That's the exact same life you have. Not perfect, because we live in we live in this world, we live in this flesh. But your flesh can be actually crucified every day. Not perfect, but it can be. Because Jesus always does a perfect work. All you have to do is hear Him. You say, well, that's hard. I can't hear God. He doesn't talk to me. But He does. But you have to be quiet. You have to be real with Him. You can't just, have a faith. You can't force it. You just got to let God do it. And He has His own time. Like I said, that time I prayed, it took 5 hours. It's a long time. And sometimes it takes time, but you have to die to whatever your whole life just to hear God. You have to be crucified with Christ, not just imputed to you, but actually it is. You're crucified. For you can't live without them. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee, O Lord. So you're just longing to hear God, to be in his presence, so that you could, in his presence, you're changed. And I tell you, it's joy unspeakable. Once you heard God, I don't even really care what he says that much. I mean, I do care. But I'm just like, just hearing him is like, wow, I heard God. Oh my gosh, I'm going to call my wife. I'm going to take a picture of that. Anyway, so that's what you need. You just need to hear God, you know, and just continue to seek in the Lord. And God will add everything to you. I'm telling you that's kind of how I live sometimes. And when I do, it's a blessing because then everything works out. My wife's happy. My kids are happy. You know, my friends, I don't even look at it or even try to help it out. I'm just seeking the kingdom. What would that look like if every Christian in our church just sought the kingdom and that's it? Then you wouldn't have to worry about food or clothing or money or health or any of those things. God would give it to you for free. That's actually the Christian life. Then you get everything. If you get Jesus Christ, you freely get all things. So if you get Jesus, you get everything. Not just Savior, I'm talking about Lord now, which is different. It's a little bit more difficult because then that means your death. And it kills you because, but if you see the joy set before you, if you see the heaven, if you see the crown, if you see what God's going to do, then it's worth it. It's worth it. But right now you don't see that because you don't want to be, you don't want to miss Jeopardy or whatever shows people watch nowadays. You don't want to miss something. And it's hard. I'm telling you, it's not easy because you miss a lot. Like, you know, you miss information. It's mostly useless information, though, like, you don't know who won the Super Bowl, or you don't know who won the game, or you don't know exactly what all the COVID rules are. So you miss stuff. See, because you don't have to know everything. You can't help stuff anyway. Even if you knew everything about politics, everything about all the stuff going on in the world, there's a billion things. There's human trafficking, there's drugs, there's transgender, homosexual, there's so much stuff, but you can't know everything. There's all these conspiracy theories, there's a billion. Chemtrails, earthquakes, they're messing with the weather, they're messing with our health, they got 5G. It's too much. I'm telling you, if you knew all that, you would go crazy. And I know people that do know all that, and they are crazy. And I know all that stuff. I know some of it. But I try not to pay too... Like last night, I got at this party, and the guys were all... They all worked at Lockheed. So they're talking about the COVID and all that. And I've heard... Gosh, I've heard so much on that. I'm just, like, sick of it. So I went back there, and I thought they were going to be talking about something good. They're talking about COVID. I was like... So I went outside the house, and back in the other part of the house, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't talk about that anymore. I'm so sick of it. But you have to know everything, even the Bible. You know what you know. Just to know something doesn't mean you'll do it. Just do what you know. Tell God, just let me do it. Just let me do the gospel. That would be awesome. Like I just talked about today. And the rest of this stuff, you don't have to know who the Antichrist is. You don't have to know once saved, always saved, or whatever you believe. You don't have to know all that stuff. That stuff is worthless. It's unlearned questions, stuff that only God has secret things that he will not tell anybody. Only the revealed things he'll reveal to you. Whatever he's revealed to you, he's revealed to you, and that's it. That's all you got. And be content with that. And then keep on seeking God. He'll give you more. Be faithful to do the gospel, and maybe you could do a sign and a wonder. But people won't even do the God. They just want to go skip all that and go right to the sign of wonder. They want to skip the fact that they're idolatrous and Jesus isn't Lord of their life and go right to gifts. And I like gifts. those gifts to happen, you know, healing and prophecy and miracles and signs and wonders. But people want to skip the way to get there. They want to skip Jesus and just get his stuff. People don't want to celebrate Christmas. They just want the presents. Kind of like that. Right? So go for Jesus, you'll get everything else. You'll get everything. Love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, temperance, self-control. You'll get righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You'll get all the signs and wonders you can handle. But you won't idolize. It won't become an idol to you. It won't become idolatrous. It'll just be, because Jesus will be Lord of your life. And all you care about is knowing Jesus. That's eternal life. To know Jesus is eternal life. So, hope you guys are blessed today. And